This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. Fabulous producer Rob Center is on the other side of the glass. Mr. Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom. Matt monitors traffic. He says he sees all the usual slow spots at all the usual places. Monitoring a fire on Chamber Street in Danville as well. On the news line with us now, a professor from Susquehanna University, Michael Zlansky, is on the line. He's a PhD and also has a CPA. He's an assistant professor of accounting at Susquehanna University. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark. Thank you for the opportunity.
I do appreciate that. You got a super dean over there in the Sigmund Weiss School of Business, Matt Ross, who's an expert appearer on the show. We've had him here a number of times for a number of occasions, so we've learned a lot. Well, I think we'll learn a lot from you, too. One of the things that you deal with and know about are venture capitalists, and all of this is germane these days because Woodmode utilized venture capitalists in order to progress and help glue the company together and to move forward back in 2017. So I think that's a nuanced area of business that a lot of people probably have heard about but may not know a lot about. So let's start out with Venture Capitalist 101. If someone summons a venture capitalist, what kind of firm is that? How do they tend to operate? Sort of give us the definition of that VC funding.
Sure. So this would be a privately held entity. That would be the venture capitalist would have their own funding sources. So investors would invest potentially in the venture capitalist firms, and then they would go out and find organizations like Woodmode or other entities across the U.S. or across the world that need funding. So the venture capitalist would be one way to raise capital. Alternatives would be going down to the bank and getting a loan or trying to raise public debt through bond offerings or issuing stock. So it's another tool that manufacturing and really all firms have to raise capital so they can get the money that they need to both continue their operations and expand.
Is there that? Continue.
No, I was going to say, just the other thing is when you think about venture capitalists, they're private. Right, so there's not a lot of transparency that people have into those investing decisions, which is then something that creates a shroud of secrecy, if you will.
Now, I think of a venture capitalist as somebody that's more associated with a startup, but venture capitalism is something that goes throughout the business industries. Legacy businesses like Woodmode, for example, would be eligible if they find a venture capitalist who's interested.
Sure. So back in my days when I was in public accounting prior to coming into academia, some of my clients were actually owned by venture capitalist firms. And so, sometimes it is startup funds, but sometimes it's a legacy business. My particular client was over 100 years old in the chemicals manufacturing business. So it could span the whole host of firms in their respective life cycles.
Some venture capitalists exert some control over the companies in which they invest. Explain how that can work.
Sure. So, if you have an ownership stake within a business, you obviously want to make sure that your investment is protected. Much like Mark, you or I, who would buy shares in a company or buy into a mutual fund, we want to make sure that we have a good return, right? So a venture capitalist perhaps would buy 10-15% of the business. You would want some protections, right, that your capital is going to be protected and that you're going to get a return. So one common way to exert some control is to have a seat or seats on the board of directors, and the board is really the body responsible for the long-term success of the company. In the sense of Woodmode, what I understand is from reading some of the press releases that came out in 2017, these venture capitalist firms were not necessarily making equity investments in Woodmode in which they would get control, but they were providing lending to the entity. And so much like that, it wouldn't be inconceivable if the venture capitalist firms were having some type of insight or even maybe asking for seats on Woodmode's board. But we don't really know what the board makeup was since Woodmode's not a publicly available or publicly traded entity. So we wouldn't know who was on the the board for this particular firm.
Right, and they're not responding. We've summoned them via text and email, and they're not and telephone. They're not interested in talking to us, so that's fine.
Sure.
Typically, I think of somebody who's a venture capitalist going to invest in a company that has certainly a significant growth potential. I think Woodmote, of course, is a strong has a strong place in the cabinet market. I wouldn't think of something as a company that is likely to experience a sort of exponential growth. Is there something they saw in Woodmote in this case, or does that go behind that curtain? We don't know what they saw because that we don't get to see inside privately held companies.
Sure. So, you know, you think about a utility company, for example, there's not going to be tremendous growth, let's say, in PPL. Right? But it's a stable business. So you and I have lights on in our respective offices, right? And at home. So there is the sense of there's a steadiness of growth. And so there could be a predictability. And so you would get involved in a mature company because you know that they're stable and they're going to provide a modest return and a consistent return. So when I think about a business like Woodmode in their stage of life, you're not going to see exponential growth, but you could potentially see steady growth, and that would sustain your investment.
All right. And was the housing market growing at that time? I mean, we've been on a steady clawback since, you know, 2008, 2009. So that steady growth could probably be shown empirically at that time?
So I was doing some research on the housing market. Thankfully, I'm not in it. I'm a happy homeowner at the moment. with all of the great joys that are associated with that, as I was digging in my garden the other day. But from what I was able to see, the housing market continues to be strong. There are more buyers than there are homes. And so as you think about that, one of the big ticket items, you know, when you buy a home is you always look at the kitchen and at the bathrooms, and that's prime for Woodmode's market, right? And so you think about people buying homes, you know, that would be one item that they might want to renovate. But you also think about folks if they don't have an alternative for other homes on the market. Maybe they're more willing to also invest in their own properties that they currently have. And so the investment that homeowners would often make, right, would be their kitchen or their bathroom. So you can see that the economic indicators are looking quite good. As I was listening to some of the headlines that you were going over right before our call, we heard the rally up in Montoursville, and all of the great economic successes were being heralded. And so that's a really prime market for home renovations.
Does venture capitalism always lead to some sale or an end or a public offering or something like that? Is that a requirement for venture capitalism? I always think of, you know, again, everything I know about venture capitalism would have fit on a business card till I talked to you. But I always think of it as the conclusion is that, you know, a startup would go public. Well, obviously, Woodmode didn't do that. But does venture capitalism always lead to something?
So there's always conversations around exit strategies. What is the end goal? And so venture capitalist firms are kind of like you and me in some sense, right? We work on a particular project. We take it as far as we can within our resources, and then maybe it's time to say goodbye to that particular project. So a venture capitalist firm could potentially buy a company, keep it for a period of time. Once they feel like they have made their money, they could potentially sell that to another venture capitalist firm, or they can sell that to an entity that's already existing, or they can take it public and do an initial public offering. So there's a whole host of options that are available.
What are some of the options that might be available to Woodmode? Again, a privately held company that can do a wide range of things without us ever knowing it. But what are some of the outcomes?
Sure. So as we were saying earlier, you know, the Woodmode brand is very strong and it's synonymous with quality. It's interesting if you read real estate listings here in the Susquehanna Valley, right, people will tout that they have a Woodmode kitchen in their home as a differentiating selling point. And there have been condo projects in Miami, right, that have been boasting Woodmode cabinetry. And there's examples all throughout the press about this. So as we think about this facility down the street in Kramer here from Susquehanna University, there are productive assets sitting there, and we know that there are customer orders, and so it seems like it's a very ripe environment for someone to come in and purchase the business and get it back up and running. So, there could be other cabinet makers, for example, who would buy that and fold that into their brand, or there could be a group of investors, maybe locally, who would be interested in buying that and getting the company back up on its feet.
And Woodmote has some options themselves. They may opt to reoperate in some way. Is that feasible?
It is possible that they could potentially reorganize and reoperate. I would suspect, though, Mark, given what the company experienced, a week ago, that they probably were trying all of their options, right, and trying all of the possible tricks that they could to keep it operating. When you reach the point, right, of running out of cash, it's a pretty dire situation at that point. But certainly I wouldn't want to close the door and say that, the family couldn't reopen the business.
All right, and we can think of local private investors. We know there is an initiative underway to glue together some local investors to try to come up with some sort of an offer for the Grunlund family. But again, that is also done behind closed doors. We don't see that.
Sure.
All right, well, any additional wisdom to pass along on what you've studied about Woodmote and what you know about investing and venture capitalism? Any additional remarks for our audience?
Oh, sure. So, obviously it's a tough market, right? Costs are always something that we want to be able to control. And so you could understand how, with a large manufacturing entity, there are just some costs that you can't avoid, right? So if sales start to slip, there are things, when you have these large capital assets, that it could be difficult sometimes to respond. And the other thing just to mention is, you briefly highlighted there's this investor group. I think it would certainly be great to get Woodmode back on its feet, particularly with employees having a significant share of the business. As we think about that, we just need to make sure that we're treating a potential investment in Woodmode like we would any other investment and not let our emotions kind of get the better of us.
All right. Well, sound advice for folks. We know that kind of idea is certainly top of the mind for a lot of folks. So we hope they do sound investing, no matter who's doing it, in the years ahead at that facility. Professor Mike Oslansky has a PhD and is a CPA. He's an assistant professor of accounting at Susquehanna University Sigmund Weiss School of Business. Thank you so much for checking in. As time goes on, we'll learn more, so please check back, and we'd love to hear updates as they continue. Thank you so much, sir.
You're so welcome, Mark. Take care.
Do appreciate that. Professor Oslansky, recommended by Professor Matt Rosu, who is the Dean of the Sigmund Weiss School of Business at Susquehanna University.